Hello, and welcome to the Get Transformed podcast of Transformation Christian Fellowship. We are so excited that you're tuning in, and we hope that you will be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, I will not be long for you tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Verse 9 says, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. And then verse 10 and 11 says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And verse 11 says, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. I want to talk briefly tonight, for the brevity of time, the Christ mentality. I want to start off by telling you about one of my favorite basketball players. We are coming up on the anniversary of his tragic death and those who were in the helicopter with Kobe Bryant and Gigi. Kobe Bryant is one of my favorite basketball players to play along with Michael Jordan and Allen Iverson and some other ones. But I like Kobe Bryant, and there's some reasons why. Kobe Bryant, ladies and gentlemen, named himself the Black Mamba. The Black Mamba, that was his nickname, the Black Mamba. Matter of fact, it is something that he named himself from the Quentin Tarantino movie Kill Bill. In the film, the Mamba Snake referred to a deadly assassin. For those of you who know about sports, Kobe Bryant is known as one of the lethal assassins of the game. Yeah. That Kobe was out for your neck on the court. That Kobe, 81 points, easy. That still has not been done. He was close to even being close to getting the 100 points that Wilt Chamberlain may have had if Phil Jackson didn't take him out the game. All right? So Kobe was that lethal. 5 championship rings. 3 with Shaq, one of the best duos ever. Then 2 with himself, proving to everybody that while Shaq was cool, Kobe could hold it down himself. All right? And so he named himself the Black Mamba, and then this took on a life of its own. Because it started becoming the Mamba mentality. The Mamba mentality, ladies and gentlemen, and for those of you who don't know who the Mamba mentality is, because of his illustrious career, ladies and gentlemen, they started coining this phrase, the Mamba mentality. Kobe was not like, if you know and you look at different things when people talk about Kobe was up 3 and some in the morning in the gym running. I mean, he had such a true fierce competitive nature. The Mamba mentality, ladies and gentlemen, is about focusing on the process and trusting in the hard work when it matters. Yeah. It is the ultimate mantra for the competitive spirit, so much so that other players who were mentees of Kobe, like Devin Booker and Jason Tatum, LeBron James, those types of people, will want to sit at the feet of understanding how do you develop this mentality. Ladies and gentlemen, here in our text, I tell you about the Mamba mentality because Paul tells us of a greater mentality, one that is found in Jesus the Christ.
Hey guys, my name is Elder Boomy, and what I need you to do like right now is stop whatever you're doing and head on over to our YouTube channel, Transformation Christian Fellowship TV. Hit that subscribe button and also sign up for our notifications so you'll also see whenever we drop a new video. But feel free to go through our videos and see our sermons, our Bible study, and the check-in and other inspirational content. Again, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and don't forget, transformation starts here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul writes, this is one of Paul's most personable letters as as compared to the other ones, if you might say. This letter to the Philippian church, ladies and gentlemen, or the region of Philippi, ladies and gentlemen, which was a Roman colony. Predominantly, it was not a lot of Jews that was in this colony. It was more so of a military base. But the interesting thing is that in one of Paul's missionary trips, and this is found in Acts chapter 16, is that him and Paul and Silas comes there, and the first convert they have is a woman named by Lydia. Paul normally does what he normally does is he goes into a region where there is a synagogue, and he will go into the synagogue and he will reason with with them in the synagogue. Like I said, there wasn't many Jews in Philippi, so it was a predominantly what they would say Gentile region. Yeah. Gentiles are those who were not Jews. So he goes in there and there is no synagogue. There's no synagogue. They didn't, in order for a synagogue to come in place, there had to be 10 Jewish men in order for a synagogue to be in place, all right? However, there was not one there, but there was, the church started near a river. Started near a river, Acts chapter 16, you meet Lydia. Lydia is a prominent person in Philippi. Businesswoman. She gets converted and she has a big enough house where the first church of Philippi started in a woman's house. She had money. So don't say that God is not able to minister to those who have money. That's not true. God's word can meet anybody who's open to it. However, for the sake of time, like I said, I just want to get straight into it with you, is that he writes this to the church of Philippi. And one of the things that we can assume is if you read the book of Philippians, there might have been some type of quarrelsome going on, disagreement going on among believers. And you have disagreement going on while persecution is heavy. In his first missionary trip, ladies and gentlemen, my man Paul and Silas were beaten because they were, to them, they were starting trouble. Yeah. And they weren't even getting it from the Jews. They were getting it from the Gentiles in the region. And so they threw Paul and Silas in jail. Yeah. And that's where you get the infamous, they're in jail. And then, they minister to the one guard. And all of a sudden, God comes and breaks the prison doors open. And so they're there. And in the first five verses of Philippians chapter 2, he's talking about humility and unity. And he's talking about unity can only come through humility. Does that make sense? He's not telling them unity does not mean uniformity. I believe that so many people in the body of Christ want to talk about unity among the church with us having the same ideas, the same theology. That's not never going to happen. So unity, ladies and gentlemen, is us gathering together, understanding that we have the common cause. And understanding that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. The blood of Jesus is what unifies us as believers. Amen. And so he talks about humility. The verses 1-4 is about how humility is given and how unity through coming in a place of humility will be accomplished. And so he continues this thought, ladies and gentlemen, and he says, let this mind, here it is, Philippians 2, verse 5, if you can put it on the screen for all of us who's watching online, and also it's already, I'm putting it on the screen for us in the room, is as you see, it says, have this attitude in yourselves that was also in Christ Jesus. This, ladies and gentlemen, is not a, this is a command. This is not something that Paul is telling them is optional. You know, he's saying, have this attitude. Matter of fact, in the original language is, it was says, have it in you. Or so around that, have it in you, this type of mentality. This is what you need to have in you. The mind of Christ. You know what I'm saying? This is how you ought to operate like Christ has. Right. And so he starts talking to us about the mentality of Jesus. And let's get into the type of mentality that he had that Paul begins to describe and gives us the ultimate example of how we ought to be ourselves. And this is going to all tie into ascending. Watch me. It says this, that one, I want to show you that Jesus himself humbled himself as a servant. I want to show you something. His mentality was one of a servant. Let's see this for a second. Let's explain this text to you. Who, verse 6, it says, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. I want to show you something here. Is that when we talk about although he existed in the form of God, in other words, what he's saying is that, and it gives the idea in the original language, that he added humanity to his deity. Yeah. Hear me and hear me good. This text is not saying that he stripped off his deity. He did not strip off his deity. He added humanity to his deity. Matter of fact, John will back it up, is that we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of the Father. When he talks about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us, that means is that God, Jesus existed in God. Way before all of this, Jesus was already there. When God said in the book of Genesis, let us, who was he referring to? He was referring to the Trinity. Trinity is not found in the scriptures, but we allude it in our theology and our doctrine, saying that we serve a God that's three in one. Yeah. Meaning that he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, and so Jesus was present then. When he said, and when he spoke a thing, that was Jesus on display. When it said the Spirit of the Lord hovered the earth, that was the Holy Spirit at work. So all three had a part in creation and creating what you see here. Are you hearing me? So he says, watch me. So he added humanity to his deity, and he did not consider it robbery to not act or continue to stay with the same privileges of what he really was. So what he did was he humbled himself to the point where he didn't come already being a man. He came, ladies and gentlemen, submitting himself to his own things he's put in place. He came as a baby, born in a manger. That's not something that would seem like a king. That's why they had a problem with Jesus, because they thought that he was going to come. Oh, he was going to have this grand opening and the Messiahs and all of this stuff. They must have missed what the book of Isaiah said. They must have missed it. And so he did not come in that likeness. He didn't come riding on a white horse to start off. He didn't come like that. He didn't come. So he added humanity to his deity, and he subjected himself to humiliation. Jesus came still in his deity, adding humanity to his deity, and through that came as a servant. Yeah. Now here it is, this is the important thing, that he came in a likeness of a man. This is important, because when it says servant, and then Paul further explained, let me show you why that is important, because angels are also servants. They serve us and they serve God. He didn't come in the form of angels. He came in the form of a man, in the form of flesh. Why? So he could become our chief high priest. And the scripture would tell us that he's in touch with our infirmities. So how can you not serve a God like this, who actually lived the very experience that he created? He lived this out. So when you're talking about God, you don't know my struggle. He had a single mom. He didn't have the best of means. He was a big brother taking care of his family. He was also a carpenter. You see, you don't see Jesus in this light. Jesus humbled himself. He is God and also man at the same time. And he could have came having the riches and the gold and all of this stuff to start off with. But no, he came as a suffering servant. This is very important. I want you to see this. Let's go here. Put this up for them as well. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. I'm in the New American Standard Bible for once. That's shade to Executive Pastor Dom. Verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." Did you see that? "But to serve and to give his life," what? "A ransom for many." A ransom for many. I want to show you also this. Philippians 2 verse 3 is something that that Paul was saying earlier. And this is very important when it comes down to serving. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit." So when he talks about empty conceit, thinking that you all this in the bag of chips, thinking that you, God can't do nothing without you, that you all this and all of that. Don't do nothing with that. That's empty. There's no base there. "But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." That means we ought to serve one another. Jesus said, listen here, Jesus got on his knees and washed his own disciples' feet. Because he was showing them that if I am God doing this, what excuse do you have? This is the thing. If we're going to have unity and all of this stuff like that, he's saying that, listen, you got to come into a place of humility regarding one another. And here's the thing. When you think of being humble and humility, when you think of those words, you think about, I'm supposed to have low self-esteem. I'm not supposed to have no. Matter of fact, if we want to get even deeper about humility, ladies and gentlemen, it's actually interchangeable with meekness. Yeah. It's actually interchangeable with meekness. "Blessed are the meek of the earth, for they shall inherit the earth." Come on now. I don't always have to be all boastful about who I am and all of that stuff. It's power under control, and that's what Jesus was showing us. He knew how to control who he was, knowing what environment he was in. He knew how to display who he was, depending on the environment. Y'all hearing what I'm saying tonight? This has everything to do, ladies and gentlemen, with where God is taking us. Say, I gotta have the Christ mentality. Put it in the chat, say the Christ mentality. So we see that Jesus, his mentality was a servant. He came to serve. He was humbled enough to serve. So his mentality was his humility to serve. The other thing I want to show you is Jesus humbled himself to the Father's assignment. All right, let's put this up on the screen for everybody. Philippians, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. It's on here in the room, verse 8 and 9. Put it up there for everybody. Philippians 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, "Being found in the appearance of a man," here's what he did. "He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross." So him being in his abode of heaven, steps down from heaven to come into a place of that he humbles himself to his Father's will. He did not count it to be a robbery to be equal with God, knowing that he already was God. See, some of you find you get offended in certain places because people don't say who you really are, don't say your name or your title or stuff like this. Why would you care? You know who you are. So humility is, so you can't really get to a place of humility until you understand, have a firm grip of who you are. Because someone who's truly humble is not insecure. I want you to put that in the chat section and say, if you're humble, you're not insecure. You're secure with yourself. Say, I'm secure with myself if you really mean it. Put that in the chat. If you only mean it. If you really mean it. Don't lie. It's still Sunday, no matter where you are. Watch me. So he humbled himself to the point of cross. And here's the thing that you have to understand why this is so significant. Because in the Gentiles, in the region of Philippi, is, watch me, is that they didn't count the cross being something that was such a thing of power and great display. No, they didn't consider that. Nuh-uh. The cross was what they knew in that day was humiliation. There was nothing good about hanging on the tree. They knew the thing, curse of the one that hangs on the tree. They didn't like all of that stuff. But Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, understood his mission. He understood the mission of the Father, and he humbled himself to it. You and I will never get to a place of fulfilling God's will for our lives until we submit to it. And he submitted to it to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. He knew his mission was to die and he accepted it. Even when his humanity is on display in the Garden of Gethsemane, he still got to a place and said, nevertheless, your will, not mine. Your will be done. So the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, that even in an experience, what we've been going through these in this season of a worldwide pandemic and economic crises and all of this stuff like that, you have to be so committed to the Father's assignment that says, nevertheless, no matter what's going on around me, whatever the will of God is for me in this season of life, I'm going to continue to press through. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He humbled himself to his assignment. He knew what he was doing. He stripped himself. He emptied himself, what the scripture says. He didn't empty himself of his deity. You know, he emptied himself of his own ambition. How can you say something like that? He is God. Well, again, the Garden of Gethsemane. Is there another way to bypass going through the cross? Even Jesus had to ask God, is there another way of redeeming man without having to do this? Is there another way? I don't know about you, but I would have been that guy saying, hello, yes, let's have a talk. Listen, I am about to get beaten for a bunch of people that don't like me anyway. You know, I don't know if I want to get beat like this. You know, I'm God. I can literally, like, just kill him. Like, just stop the finger. Like, you have to understand, Jesus was he was God. He is God. And he could have just, Jesus told Peter, like, listen, don't do nothing. Don't try to stand up for me, man. I could call a legion of angels and they could get me out of this. But even in knowing that, the scripture says he humbled himself to the point of death. Because in order for you to get to a place of fulfilling the assignment of God, you have to become humble. What does that mean? You have to submit yourself under the hand of God. Are you hearing me tonight? You have to submit yourself under the hand of God. Thank you, AP. You have to submit yourself. You have to submit yourself under the hand of God. And so he submitted himself to his assignment. I got to rush. So the Christ mentality that Paul teaches us is that he humbled himself as a servant and he humbled himself to stay low and to fulfill the assignment. There's three takeaways I want to show you that I want you to take away from the Christ mentality that you and I need to have. You want it for me? Let me tell you, if you're taking notes, I want you to put it out there. Here it is. Humility is necessary to be great in the kingdom. Humility is necessary to be great in the kingdom. I'm about to go somewhere with this. Go with me to Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. Let me set the scene for you. The disciples are talking about who's great among themselves. Who's great among themselves? And this is what Jesus says to them. Yet it shall not be as among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. So he's saying, you trying to be the first among all of us? No. The real ones are the ones who will be their servant. In other words, what Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, you got to be a servant. You got to be like myself and know how to serve others. And not always just looking out for your own self and your own self-interest and your own self. What am I going to get out of it? What am I going to get out of this? Jesus died on the cross already knowing what people would do. Not so he could get something out of it. Jesus did not die so he could get a name that was above every name. That wasn't his intent. He died so that you and I could be restored to the Father. I want you to really think about that. You thinking that Jesus came out of heaven just so he can get a name that's elevated? What does it matter to him? He's God. Think about it. What does it matter? When people talk to me, what God would do something like that? Hello, Jesus would. Because people only can think of a God that's big, running with a bunch of money. He got all of this stuff. That's why there's different religions. Because different religions play to different people's desires. Oh my God, I hope you're catching this, because this word that we're giving you in Vision Month right now is about to set up your future. I'm telling you right now is that this word that you're getting tonight is setting up your future. It is setting you up for what God is about to do, because I am sensing in the spirit is that, yes, this pandemic may still be here, but I'm decreeing and declaring the righteous are going to prosper through it. That's what I'm believing. I'm believing that. Guess what? That's why Jeremiah said, hey, set up houses, do all of this stuff. You could still prosper. You still be in it, but you'll still prosper. All right. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to be a servant. It doesn't work any other way. God will not bring you from one lower degree to another if you, ladies and gentlemen, don't understand the importance of serving. If you don't understand the importance of serving, God is not going to bring you from one degree to another. God is not going to move you upward if you can't serve nobody. And God will constantly put you in positions for you to serve people until you get it right. Because before people can serve you, you got to serve them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know this is not two ways to get money, three ways to get this. But I'm telling you the truth tonight. You want to be somewhere? You want to be great in the kingdom? He's telling his disciples, you better learn how to serve. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a mandate on us this year as a church to serve. Serve. If you're watching me and you're not a part of a local body and you want to learn, no matter where you are living at, and you want to be a part of it and you want to serve in this ministry, come on in. Text hello TCF to 94000. All right, let's go. Part two, I want to show you something. Here it is. Humility is necessary to do the Father's will. Here it is. I like Psalm 37, verse 5. It says this, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. What he's doing here is this, you cannot commit until you come into a place of humility. You get what I'm saying? You got to get low. You got to submit. You got to submit yourself under God. In order for you to, for God to ascend, you got to have this type of mentality. You got to adopt this mentality, fam. This is not, oh, I'm going to secure the bag and all of that stuff. You want to know how to secure the bag? Humility. Because you won't humble yourself. You won't give and you won't serve if you're not humble. You can't tithe, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not in a place of humility. You want to secure the bag? Commit your money to God. You want God to give you more influence and affluence? Commit your way to God. What Jesus did was commit. He said, oh my God, I love it when Jesus did this. When he was hanging on the cross and his final words that he did was, Father, in your hands I commit my spirit. On the cross, he committed himself to God. He said, here you go. I've done it. I've done what you've asked. I've done what you asked. Hear me. He said, I've done what you have asked. And he did it because of a place of humility. That's why Jesus said, and all the humiliation that they were trying to spur on him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what I'm doing right now. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with them. I didn't come here to be served. I came with one mission. I didn't come here to be your king at first. I came here so that you could be, so I can be the path so you can meet the true king. can I give you this one? Let me close. I got to go. 6:05. I got to get out of here. Humility precedes ascension. I want to give you something. Proverbs 15:33. I need you to write this down. If you're getting anything from this, I need you to write. Here it is. Write the scripture down. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. Before honor comes humility. Woo! What did that say right there? Everybody, let's see what this says. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. Before what? Honor comes humility. So what is Solomon telling his sons? He's telling you, honor does not come after humility. Excuse me, honor does not come before humility. Honor comes after you've humbled yourself. Everybody is looking to be honored, be put on a stage, to be put on this platform, to have influence, Instagram followers, Facebook, growing on TikTok, YouTube subscribers. I want to be this Christian influencer and this and that and all of that stuff. And saying, God's saying to somebody, well, have you humbled yourself? I hear that. And I'm not saying those are bad things, fam. It's not bad to want to have wealth. It's not bad to get wealth. The Bible says I've given you the power to create wealth. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm coming for your intent. I'm coming for the motive of your heart. Is it that you really want to serve people, or you're trying to get to somewhere so that it's be about you? What happens if God gives you more influence and affluence? What you going to do with it? Because there's many people that God has brought up. And guess what? When they got in the seat, they did nothing. You want to talk about this? Oh, I finally got elected to this seat in the government, and I did all of this stuff. And when you get there, your mouth is quiet. God finally gave me a position on the school board, and you did nothing to affect the change, and God gave you the opportunity to do so. Every person that God has given a seat to, like Daniel. That's a crazy holy name. Yeah. Daniel was a man of integrity and humility. Yes, sir. That when he was given the seat of power, he affected change. And he did not allow he did not allow those who coerced against him to change his premise. What I'm telling you is that this is the ultimate example. This is why Paul was telling us to strive for humility, because this is what we saw. This is what he saw. And this is what put Philippians chapter 2 back on verse 9. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So what Paul saw is that this Christ mentality, if you have the anointed one's mentality, if you're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one, then you have been anointed to flow in this mentality. And when you flow in this mentality, y'all, what happens is then this, you start to see yourself ascending. You start to see yourself moving from one level to another level, going from glory to glory and faith to faith, because only for you to get there, you have to stay under the hand of God. And what Jesus was showing us as his fellow believers and those who would be believers is that if you stay under God, for this reason, God highly exalted him. For this reason, God will highly exalt you. God will put you in the positions. God will put you in the seats of power. God will give you influence. God will give you affluence. God will put those things in your hands if he can trust you to stay low. Come on and put it in the chat section and say, you got to stay low. You got to stay low. This is why people don't like the Christian faith. This is why they don't like the faith of believers, because what it teaches is opposite of what the world says. See, the world says that you got to, that you have to lie, steal, and kill, that you have to do stuff that are out of character and out of morals to get somewhere. They say you got to sleep around. You got to know who, and you got to know this person, and you got to have this connection, and you got to know how to do this. No. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says is that God will, oh my God, those who, oh my God, will humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, he will elevate them. The scripture teaches opposite of the world's theology. What the scripture teaches is if you stay low, don't try to get high, stay low. Hallelujah. Because it works opposite of what people think. How can you stay low and go high? Because you're under the hand of God. Hallelujah. When you get, oh my God, when you get haughty and when you get prideful, you end up, how did Lucifer's name turn to Satan? It's because he buffed himself up in pride, wanted me to be glorified over God. And what God is saying, I'm looking for some people. That's why I didn't shut everything down, because I'm looking for somebody, and I'm looking for a group of people that say, hey, I'm going to stay low. I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of, but I know I got a greater God who can take me further than what I could ever do for myself. That's who God is looking for. He's looking for people that would adopt this Christ mentality and say, listen, I'm going to stay low. I'm going to serve you. I don't got to get nothing in return. But as I'm serving, I know that God, I'm storing up treasures in heaven and also got some treasures in here in earth that God is going to bless me in due time. Somebody say in due time. I don't know if it's 7 months from now. I don't know if it's a week from now. I don't know if it's next year. But look at somebody say in due time. God will bless you. God will elevate you. Not because of yourself, but you knew how to stay low. So as I come in to close tonight, the Christ mentality is all about reminding. The Christ mentality as I close is about remaining low under the mighty hand of God with great humility and obedience to the Father. To the Father, Let me give you this verse, and I'm getting out of here tonight. This is probably going to help you. It says, first Psalm 149, verse 4. This is what I like. For the Lord delights in his people. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. I know we already danced earlier, but here's the thing. Oh, my goodness. But here it is. He said, for the Lord delights in his people, and he crowns the humble with what? Victory. Oh my gosh. You may not understand that. Listen, as you serve, as you're being faithful, as you stay under God, let me tell you something. You may not feel the immediate impacts as of right now, but guess what? You're getting the attention and the eye of God, that God's eye is on you, and guess what? It is not in vain. Jesus' death was not in vain. Hallelujah. Because guess what? He had to descend so he could show us how we can sin. Hey, hallelujah. How you, oh my God, and you got it. Get low for you to ascend, and that's what Jesus showed us, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? God crowned him with victory. Oh my God, help me in here tonight. He crowned him with victory, and not only that, that's why we say, oh death, where is your victory? Oh my God, oh my God, oh grave, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? Because he defeated it. And when you know that, because he was humble, because he stayed low, he despised, oh my God, he endured the shame. Oh my God, he made a mockery of them, and that's what he did, bringing down principalities and kingdoms. That's what Jesus did, staying low. Hallelujah. I gotta get out of here now. But this is what I love about Jesus. They were asking him while he was on trial, are you the Son of God? And Jesus didn't say nothing. But then Pilate came up to him and said, are you the Son of God? He said, you said it, not me. Because he didn't need to say who he was. When you're confident in who you are, oh my God, in here, when I'm confident in who I am, don't you be intimidated of my confidence. It's not, oh my God, it's not arrogance. It's the fact that I know who I am. I don't need your validation for it, but I'm staying low. That's for you to, oh my God, that's for you to argue who I am. But I already know what I came to do. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus said, no matter what you do, you can go ahead and do it. Because I know what I came here to do. Because he was faithful
to the point of death.
God,
Stand to your feet. Say, I'm a sinner. Come on and do it. Hallelujah. Do a prophetic act. I'm a sinner. I'm going above. I'm pulling above what's been trying to keep me down. I'm going above. I'm going higher than this. I gotta go higher than this pandemic. I gotta go higher than this. I gotta leap over this because I'm gonna stay low and I'm gonna humble myself. I'm gonna stay under the mighty hand of God and I won't let nobody take me out. I won't let nobody take me to the left or take me to the right, because if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and with all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path tonight. If you let him direct your path, it's by staying low.
Woo, glory. Oh, my Jesus in here tonight. Hallelujah,
TCF, I'm telling you, we about to ascend, but you gotta stay low. Hallelujah. The friendless was nothing but us keeping ourselves under the hand of God. Oh, that's all it is. That's all it is. We haven't been moving before our time. We ain't been getting out of sight of time. We've been staying in the pace of grace.
Say, I'm never defeated. Hallelujah. Never defeated. Come on, put your sign of victory in the house. Put it in the chat section. Say, I'm never defeated, but I always got victory tonight. He crowns the humble with victory.
Thanks for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. We hope that you subscribe so that you can continue to be empowered by the latest podcast. For more information on Transformation Christian Fellowship, visit our website at transformationchristianfellowship.org or download our free mobile app on the App Store or Google Play Store. If you would like to support this ministry, simply text TCF1 to 77977. We thank you for your generosity and for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. And remember, transformation starts here.